Item number three is an application for a subdivision rezoning for Phase 4 of Sage Creek under file DAS-35-2009. The applicant is Mr. Vogan.
Welcome, Mr. Vogan.
Good evening.
Just, I think there is, yes. Just one moment, Mr. Vogan. Just for interest, we have registered in support for this item Eric Vogan, Mike Armstrong. Registered in opposition, I have Gabriel Hurley. Registered for information is Al Cito. Is anybody else in the chamber wishing to speak on this matter other than those four people I've named? Seeing none, Mr. Vogan.
Thank you. We have received and reviewed the planner's report and the ECG report. Firstly, with regard to the planner's report, I note that that the context of the new rezoning is a rezoning, within the report mentioned, is a rezoning from RR5 rural residential to the various zonings we're seeking in here. To my knowledge, this land is still zoned agricultural. The reason I bring it up is that we have another piece of land in the immediate area that, in our understanding, is zoned agricultural, but it had been referred to as RR5. And this has an impact in terms of something else that we're trying to do in Sage Creek, and that is put together a site for a fire hall, which would be an allowed use under agricultural zoning, but not under RR5. So by way of this, I will ask that this issue get cleared up as to whether there is any automatic designation to RR5 without there being a hearing or are being made aware of it. But it pertains more particularly to another issue rather than this. So I'll leave
We'll ask the question.
Perhaps John and Rob to consider and have a look at.
Sure.
I'd like to find out how that works, because there's, I'd say, another issue which we don't want to see any delays on. I would now turn my attention to the ACG report. Firstly, we did receive the ACG report in we got a couple of weeks to look at it, and I'm very thankful for that, and I think that it really helps the whole process when we have a chance to discuss this openly. So my thanks go to Shirley and the whole ECG team for getting this out early. As a result of it being in our hands early, we met and discussed several points within that ACG report. I am able to go through every point individually, and perhaps it may be wiser, or maybe we could stipulate as to an agreement between ACG and ourselves, but given that there are other people are here to listen, maybe we go through the changes. Any comment there? Should we go point by point?
From my perspective, maybe you can go through what you don't agree with in the ACG. Areas of contention or disagreement?
Right, well, there were we did submit, I believe, a revised ACG report with those changes that were agreed to by the administration. And if we have an understanding that that's clear, then I will focus on the areas where we still have a disagreement.
And there are two areas. That makes sense to me, I think, that you would focus on that. I think we received some information as to what the disagreements were, but for the purposes of the record.
Well, I would hope that the amendments would get tabled and moved forward through to the various other committees as presented in that amended report.
I received a copy of the agreed-upon changes from Lynn Jones from Qualco and confirmed with Shirley Mateel that the administration was supportive of the changes. Actually, Shirley was involved in the drafting of the amendments.
Are there outstanding disagreements on amendments right now? There are.
Well, we know where we disagree, and there are two points.
Yeah, that was my understanding. Yeah. So I think we can
focus.
We can take it as a matter of course. The ultimate recommendation is going to include the agreed upon amendments. I mean, unless anybody on the committee has any difficulty with those that I'm not aware of. But
okay, very good. Thank you. Well, then I'll focus on the two issues which I wanted to bring up tonight. First of those is a requirement where we are to build sidewalks concurrently with the roads. In Sage Creek, we had an area structure plan, and within that area structure plan, there is a provision that sidewalks are not required on residential roads, and that the pedestrians are free to make use of residential roads. The collector streets, on the other hand, at the area structure plan level even, have a requirement that sidewalks be incorporated into them, and we fully understand that and agree with it. What we hoped to do at the time when we included this was to make it clear to everybody right up front that collector streets definitely need sidewalks. We have also, in addition to the sidewalks on collector streets, a substantial trail network which exists sometimes in parallel or in network, but other times completely differently from the sidewalk in the collector area. The purpose of this was to tackle something that's been a long-standing problem with the city, and the worry that if a sidewalk isn't built right away, it'll never get built. So we're hoping that that truly different measure will make it abundantly clear to everybody that these sidewalks are expected. Secondly, our plan and our usual practice is to put notice to every homeowner that sidewalks will be installed on certain streets through developer signage, major billboard signage, our marketing plans, our building agreements, and in our discussions with residents. And I can say that in the last 15 years, I've never had a problem getting a sidewalk in, and I know that at least one of you here has been party to our making sure that the sidewalks got in, even at the cost in this particular case of redoing some people's driveways in order that the sidewalk worked very well. And our work there, I think, proved that we can do it. The reason I am afraid of a requirement that they be installed, sidewalks be installed concurrently with roads, is that if we are putting in a road in, let's say, in August or September of a year, and we wish to get houses built in that same winter, yet we haven't done the sidewalks, Public Works could say that, well, the works aren't complete, we won't allow houses to be built until the sidewalks are built because they're supposed to be done concurrently with roads. And I believe particularly this very experienced bunch knows that the first early sidewalk in an area, if it's there prior to construction of houses, takes a terrible beating and it's basically a redo. Now, we are very much interested in not redoing the sidewalks. In this particular application, there will be sidewalks on Sage Creek Boulevard on both sides of the street, and we will be installing not only the sidewalks, but also installing a retaining wall so that the homes adjacent to these streets will have a retaining wall and a wrought iron style fence, as well as a sidewalk in front of it. In other words, it's an integral part of the plan. Everybody would expect to see a sidewalk. Everybody would have a problem if there wasn't a sidewalk there. It's a very obvious choice. So we're looking for some understanding on that. We do also include our agreements with our builders that they put that information right in the showroom so that there's an abundance of clarity as to the upcoming sidewalk. Again, my main concern is that this could be used as an obstacle to getting building permits in the winter if we don't have it all happening at the same time. And indeed, we don't plan on doing it right away. It is indeed a waste of concrete. But I also understand there have been troubles elsewhere. Secondly, we've been asked for the first time in my being in the business to put a light on a short walkway between two streets. These walkways are part of our goal to make the neighborhoods more porous, more interconnected on a pedestrian way, so that you can get from one bay to the other without having to walk around the whole bay. Take some shortcuts, and indeed pedestrian shortcuts are part of what we want to do in Sage Creek, and we want to keep on doing these walkways. We have done several. We've also done several walkways in White Ridge and in River Park South. We've done a lot of trails beyond the walkways in River Park South and Sage Creek. There are no lights. The concern I have is that we might find a homeowner that does not want to have a lake flooding in his backyard. And indeed, if the concern is that there's going to be a place where youths gather and cause disruption or something like that, this is a straight line, 230-foot walkway between two streets that are adjacent to each other, adjacent to four lots. Furthermore, we have at this point already about 9 kilometers of trails in Sage Creek that go through native grasses and wetland areas where there is no lighting. In other words, if there's opportunity for scallywags in the dark, I guess we've already created it in spades. But our experience has been in River Park South, White Ridge, and in Sage Creek thus far that there's no problem.
We'll just wait for you to finish your submissions, Mr. Vogel, and then there'll be questions.
I think that's the entirety of it. And okay. Again, I like being so brief because of the great work we did on a number of technical issues with the administration.
Good. Thank you very much, Mr. Vogel. Maybe for the clerk has suggested something that I think makes some sense. Because there's other delegations who wish to speak on this matter, for the sake of disclosure, we probably should mention what the other suggested changes that have been agreed to were with respect to the report. Can we do that?
I can do that. I have them highlighted so I can move through them fairly quickly.
I could probably do it quicker.
The agreed upon changes were deletion of paragraph 8 under section A plan considerations. The deletion of the words from the wastewater sewer and water main to approximately 5 meters inside the property line from the second line of section 3A under B section B development agreement.
Are we talking ACG here?
ACG. The deletion of under section 14B, asphaltic concrete surfacing on both sides of the sidewalk to the property lines. Deleted C, which is chain link fencing above along the side property lines, and deleted post and chain somewhere in there. Adding to number 25, the city shall endeavor to recover and reimburse the developer the costs expended by the developer for all major roadway pavements benefiting others, in brackets, as per the South St. Boniface Area Structure Plan, section 7.2.2 sub 3. Deletion of paragraph number 30 in its entirety. And deletion of the words within 3 months of in the third line of section 34. And I believe that was it.
And adding by March 31st of the following year.
Oh, sorry, you're right. And by adding by March 31st of the following year.
Okay. Councillor Vandell, you had questions?
A question relative to the safety security lighting in the proposed public walkway. Are we talking about one public walkway here, or are we talking about a policy that's going to...
There is one walkway within this application, within this phase, between two bays. And that's where this comes up. But it again, it's the first time we've seen a walkway light in my experience, and I guess it's an expense there. I know they're difficult to maintain as our street lights. You can't just string them from top to top as they do with broken street light connectors.
So, are there any similar public walkways in the other phases of Sage Creek?
There are. We have them in phases one and two.
And they're not lit there?
They're not lit, no.
Okay. And in other developments across the city that you've done, similar?
In White Ridge, we had a number of walkways going between bays, and there were no lighting in there. And similarly, in River Park South, there's no lighting in any of the walkways there.
Okay. And your concern is that the homeowners who where the lights are may not enjoy their back lanes or their back yards being lit?
I expect that if somebody's got a light in the corner of their backyard outside their bedroom window, they would rather not have it there. I further expect that a walkway light back in a corner like that will have some interruptions in service, and it's been my experience that oftentimes walkway lights don't get repaired for a number of years because it involves retrenching rather. You will see, for example, on street lights, you will see hooking up street lights by just running an overhead line between lights, keeping them on, but this option would not be available on the walkway. And maintenance is an expensive and painful proposition.
Those are my questions.
Yeah. Eric, have you seen in some of the existing walkways that you have where residents, if they're concerned about lighting, they put up sort of motion detector lights? I've had that happen in some areas. Have you seen it in any of your subdivisions?
We see various people do it, for example, in back lanes, backyards. Yeah. And you notice that when you go by, somebody's suddenly turning the light on, obviously it's automatic.
On these on the sidewalks, we come up against this all the time on these developments, of course, as you know. The concern is that if we don't impose the obligation, although I take you at your word that you want to put them in and you will put them in, we know it's tough sometimes when the residents start moving in and there is no sidewalk, and then you have to go in, and oftentimes the majority of the residents don't want the sidewalk there. Your comments on that?
In my experience, the only areas where there has ever been trouble with the sidewalk was on a street where there were front drives, and there was clearly a conflict between people using their front drives totally and the separation or the effective shortening of their driveway by the fact there's a sidewalk coming through it.
Yeah.
You'll drive through several areas where there have been sidewalks and front driveways together, and cars will be parked across the sidewalk, and it's clearly a troublesome item. I'm very glad that we were able to work with the city to clear up this issue of sidewalks and front drives within the Sage Creek Area Structure Plan by making it evident that it's okay to walk on back streets in Sage Creek. So I think, given that we've eliminated the driveway problem, we won't have a problem.
Yeah, well, that's a fair comment.
Just in general, I don't think there is a perfect solution to this, because if we do it one way, put the sidewalks in, the sidewalks will get damaged, and then you've got to go back and try and reinstall them. As soon as you go back to reinstall them, the people will say they don't want them there anyway. So, you know, having some sort of an obligation. Is there no way to get the people, when they take occupancy of the home, to sign an agreement that they understand that the sidewalk is going to be installed?
Well, what we do in several instances, for example, where there's a uniform fence to be taken care of, we include on title, we register on title and make people aware of the time of purchase by using an agreement, a building scheme, which is a registrable plan, which describes what shall or what will be on the site and what cannot happen. We could reach out a little further with a building scheme and say, for example, there will be a 4-foot wrought iron style fence in the front yard, and there will be a sidewalk in front of that. We can install a notice like that through a building scheme. It reaches beyond the problems that the city legal people have had in terms of registering a development agreement or making it obvious to a purchaser why that agreement is registered online. And we're willing to do that.
Okay. We'll hear from other folks. We'll get you back to rebuttal there, Mr. Vogan.
Thank you.
Also registered in support, Mike Armstrong, 804 Manhattan. Thanks very much, Mr. Armstrong. Listed in opposition, Gabriel Hurley, 753 Spruce Street. We'll give Mr. Hurley a couple minutes to set up. I'll just grab a cup of coffee. Counselor. Whenever you're ready, Mr.
Okay, so there's no secret what this presentation is about. But quickly, in defense of sidewalks, sidewalks are like telephones. If only one person has a telephone, it's completely useless. Telephones work on the network effect. The more people have it, the more value it has. If there are sidewalks that are not close to your house, why would you use it? You'd have to walk along a non-sidewalk to get to the sidewalk so that you can walk on a sidewalk. That's crazy. So, sidewalks for all houses should be included, otherwise the people in the houses will not use them. And if it's not on paper, how can you trust it? All right, but for what I was here to talk about, noise fences. Included in the document, it says the developer shall construct within the rear yards of all single and two-family lots abutting Ward Avenue and Plessy Road, a uniform 2.0-meter-high noise attenuation fence. Just for comparison, 2 meters is taller than I am. Let's take a look at where some noise attenuation fences have already been built in South Tuxedo. South Tuxedo is in this area. I'll have some boundaries up there. There's a noise attenuation fence built all the way along Shaftesbury with an interruption there. Aside from that, it's all noise attenuation fence. Let's take a look at what it looks like. Okay, so as you can see, on one side, on this Shaftesbury, there's the fence, there's the houses. And then there's a sidewalk. The people who live in the houses, even though they are very close to the sidewalk, cannot access the sidewalk because there's a fence in the way. Not only that, but people walking along the sidewalk can't see the beautiful houses because there's a 2.0-meter fence in the way. I'm not sure if this one is 2.0 meters. I think it's a bit smaller. As you go along, you can see how devastatingly ugly this fence is and how it completely disrupts the access from Shaftesbury to the yard and from people's yards to Shaftesbury. These people can't access the sidewalk. These people can't access the sidewalk. In fact, the only place you can access the sidewalk is along the single entrance from Shaftesbury to the neighborhood. And in fact, as you can see, the sidewalk itself is rather fraudulent because it sort of just ends. It's a sidewalk to nowhere. You can see there's a sidewalk ends yellow diamond sign. And I have only ever once seen anyone using the sidewalk for their own transportation.
Gabriel?
Yes.
And the application tonight.
Yes. So noise attenuation fence, which is completely related to what I'm talking about. So the noise attenuation fence is to be built along Ward Avenue and Plessis Road. These are high traffic areas. You can understand why people would not want to hear loud cars and trucks driving by them when they're trying to sleep. Are there any other places like this in Winnipeg where there are high traffic areas near residential areas? The answer is yes. Portage Avenue is one of the most used streets in the city. Very wide, lots of traffic. What do? Well, they didn't build noise fences all the way along Portage Avenue, that's for sure. If you take a look at the picture,
we have residential, right on Portage Avenue on both sides is zoned commercial.
How has this worked out for people along Portage? Well, it's worked out pretty well. You can see there are lots of businesses that have popped up along Portage. Some of these you may be familiar with. These are not necessarily downtown either. If you go down to St. James, once again, a suburban neighborhood, businesses all the way along Portage. Places to eat or buy sushi. Bowling lanes. Point being, these are nice places, much nicer than a fence. They make it a place where people can go to. It's accessible to all the people in the neighborhood. They can walk there. The sidewalks have a use. Sergeant Sunday, of course, an institution in St. James, wouldn't be there if there was a fence. So, my recommendations are as follows.
Sergeant, you've got to give that to the clerk. No, you're okay.
Rezone the properties along Ward Avenue and Plessis Road as Zone 2 commercial, and add additional roads that connect the neighborhood to the large thoroughfares, that is Baptiste Tournon Road, Tournon, I don't know how to pronounce that, as well as Dragonfly Court extending to Fossey Road so that the people who live in the neighborhood can actually access the commercial zones. I am not a bureaucrat. I don't know how to rewrite zoning proposals. I leave that up to you. The main ideas are articulated in the papers that I've handed to you. Thank you very much.
Hey. Questions of Mr. Vandell?
Thank you, Gabriel, for your presentation. Obviously, you went some time to do this. Just a comment relative to sidewalks. I don't think that Mr. Logan ever said he didn't want to construct the sidewalks. I think he said that he didn't want to construct them before the houses were constructed to prevent broken sidewalks that would have to be relayed. So I think it was simply he didn't say he didn't want to construct the sidewalks, just for your information.
Of course,
were you aware of that?
What happens if one house in the neighborhood chooses not to have a sidewalk and all the other houses do?
And I never heard Mr. Vogan say that there was going to be no sidewalks. I just want to make sure you're aware of that.
The plan is that there is going to be a sidewalk. The argument is, does it go in before the houses go in, and then the sidewalks will get broken during construction, or do you put them in once the majority of the houses are in, and the sidewalks are safe, you only have to do it once?
Perfectly legitimate concerns.
As far as your comments about the noise fence, you do bring up a good point in that if the noise fences are erected and they're not all uniform and they're all separately maintained, then they don't look very well. And yes, they do block the sidewalks, that's granted, but I think in this case, noise is going to be a bigger issue.
And, bigger than Portage Avenue?
And for the people who buy the lots are going to be well aware that there's a uniform fence there, and if they don't like that, they're certainly not going to buy those lots. As far as Portage Avenue, I don't think that's really apples to apples. But
can you think of one that could be compared?
I think what you have going on at Waverly West, the noise attenuation that's going on there.
The
commercial is more central.
Built before noise attenuation fences started being built.
No.
Well, I think generally
it's not the application that we have in front of us tonight.
But I think generally the difference, Gabriel, is on Portage Avenue, you're talking about frontage. For noise attenuate a frontage of lots, and nobody that I'm aware of, puts fences along their frontage. For the noise attenuation fence, those are rearage fences in the back of the property. So I guess that would be one difference. Like if you go to those streets that you showed, if you looked at the front of those properties, there would be no fence. It would be wide open, like Portage Avenue. But if you looked along the back lanes of Portage Avenue, I don't know that there'd necessarily be fences, but there would certainly be parking lots or garbage bins or stuff like that, maybe not quite as inviting.
What you would see is that the houses are facing one way and the businesses are facing a different way.
Yeah.
So front, it's all relative. In this case, I would suggest that the businesses face towards the major thoroughfares that they're being placed on.
There are in the Sage Creek development commercial areas where the commercial property fronts. It has sidewalks. There are no fences. For these residential pieces backing onto our regional streets, are what they're backing onto. And they're more sort of rural in nature, regional streets. They're coming in right on the outskirts of the city. They're not the downtown. So the commercial is more central. And those commercial properties don't have fences in front of them. They are open. They do have sidewalks. And actually, this is one of the best pedestrian-oriented developments that we have in the city of Winnipeg.
St. James is not downtown.
Gabriel, would you just stand at the podium?
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
St. James is not downtown.
Yeah.
It's an old downtown.
But if... one thing you did say that, is it legal, is it pursuant to regulation for someone to cut a gate into one of those noise attenuation fences? Can that be done if they want to access the sidewalk?
I don't think there's nothing that
described as uninterrupted.
Yes?
Well, the gate would still be in. I don't know. I can't say I've seen it done. Or
Just to answer that direct point, because that is a fair point, if somebody wanted to access the sidewalk behind them, I'm not so sure they couldn't build a gate in the fence that's been built. But you'd be hard-pressed, I think, in this town to find any residential home that doesn't have a fence at the back of their yard. And that's what noise attenuation fences are. So I guess what I'm saying is yeah, I'll give you that noise attenuation fences, yeah, maybe too big. Noise attenuation fences in some circumstances look a little foreboding, a little prohibitive. But if you consider the alternative, what you're likely to see, and I like your comments on this, if you consider the alternative to noise attenuation fences, you would probably wind up with a bunch of individual homeowners who build their own fence. So you would wind up with a stretch of road that would have a montage of different styles of fences along it, but still a fence.
I guess too, Gabriel, people...
You know, we're working in the area of market as well, so people can choose. You know, do I want my noise attenuation to be a commercial buffer, like on Portage Avenue, so a commercial buffer on my side yard, or would I prefer to live in Sage Creek and have a 6-foot or 2-meter noise attenuation fence blocking me from the regional street? And those are choices that individuals get to make. And some will choose the Portage Avenue, St. James look. Some will choose the suburb look.
Are there any such choices in new developments?
Well, certainly there are commercial pockets in these new developments where people can back onto commercial property if they so choose.
I guess my question is, why wasn't this considered as opposed to the noise attenuation?
That's not the way the application process works. We don't make the application. The people who own the land make the application, and they do a fair bit of market analysis as to what people want and how to best to utilize, get the highest and best use out of their land, densities, where the commercial should be, how you want to put the pedestrian in, how you want to deal with noise attenuation. That's the applications that we have come to us.
And in this case,
there is some commercial town centers where the businesses are going to be. It's a huge area that's been planned out 4 or 5 years ago.
The principles of sustainable development are driving us towards these sort of pedestrian-oriented developments that have town centers as opposed to the long ribbons of sort of, you know, they often call Portage Avenue the longest shopping mall in the world. It's just changes in market and changes in planning.
I don't understand what you're driving at.
It's choices.
But is it a good choice?
Well, it's not for us to say.
Why not?
We only have the one application in front of us. The people who own the land, Gabriel, there's certain rights you get when you own property, and that is to proceed to make applications on the property as you see fit. If you want to build a development that's got commercial buffers on it as opposed to attenuation fences and do that, you can bring that application forward, and we may agree with that choice.
Well, what's the purpose of the hearing then?
The purpose of the hearing is to see whether or not it's reasonable.
Okay, well, I think it's unreasonable to make a 2-meter-high fence along a major thoroughfare.
And I would respectfully disagree.
And that's
your point clear, and I think we'll take that.
Your comment is a fair one, and it is certainly part of the, I guess that was the ACG report. I'm not exactly sure, but I think that was the ACG report you're reading from. So it's on the table for discussion, fairly, and you have every right to bring it up. I never did get your comments, though, on, and I am interested in hearing from you, on, if in these circumstances, using the example that you showed, because you would never take away a person's right to fence their backyard, right? Would you?
It depends on the situation. Is it a fence, made out of noxious materials, then yes.
Oh, okay. Well, let's assume it's a regular fence, as any homeowner would have. Would your preference be to have sort of the different style of fence each 40 feet or so?
I'm familiar with streets that are like that. They look nicer.
Okay. Because I can tell you, I think the planning thought behind the uniform fence, instead of allowing the, sort of the different montage collaboration of styles of fences, the thinking in suburban planning is that the one uniform fence is more aesthetically pleasing, rightly or wrongly. Wrongly in your opinion. Fair enough. Okay. Yep. All right. Al Cito, for information.
Hi there. I just would like to comment about, in the development, it talks about the widening of Plessy's Road. I don't know exactly what that means or what the developer's plans are, but as you all know, Plessy's Road is a rural gravel road, and as you guys know, you guys don't do any maintenance on any of those adjoining roads that are adjacent to rural municipalities, and I have a great concern about the drainage. And I also have a great concern about what's going to happen when this development is accessed to this gravel road that the arm of Springfield maintains and the city of Winnipeg doesn't. Is the city going to take any responsibilities over? And there's also a comment, and the developer knows this, about the closing of the intersection at Perimeter and the Plessies. That's going to happen somewhere in the near future, probably. So because the developer already has, in regards to drainage, raised the ditch along 59 Highway from John Bruce Road north, and they've basically dead-ended the water that runs from approximately the Imperial Oil Pipeline west down the perimeter ditch around the 59 corner and up to John Bruce Road, and it just dead-ends there now, because they've raised the ditch probably a foot and a half, whereas before that water used to run north to a box culvert across the opposite side of 59 Highway and down the opposite side and through a culvert and into the Navin Drain, because the Navin Drain is the drain of the area. All the water in the area either has to run north from a dividing point of somewhere's the Perimeter Highway to the Navin Drain, and or from that point south to the Prairie Grove Drain along the floodway. So that's my concerns, and I'd like to know if there's any address to the those type of things.
I can tell you that whenever they do a development, the overall drainage plan for the area is incorporated, and in its and its relationship to adjacent lands, whether they be in the city of Winnipeg or outside of the Winnipeg, have to be properly engineered as well. And I'm sure Mr. Vogan will reply when he comes down, and even our administration too, at some point, as to how those drainage matters are worked out.
And I'd also like to know about the Plessy's Road. Well, the widening of Plessy's Road, it speaks about the widening of Plessy's Road, and then about the city's part taking in looking after it, because the city hasn't partaken in any kind of maintenance on Plessy's Road since the basically amalgamation. They, you know, if you check with your public works, there's never been a city grader down the road, a city snowplow. You know, they've never spent any money for gravel or for dust abatement. And that is a rural road.
It's a boundary road, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a boundary road, yes.
I'm not sure how that works, but we can certainly ask that when we go forward in conclusion here.
We'll ask.
Okay, thank you.
You seem to have a pretty good knowledge of the area, Mr. Seale.
I grew up in the area. I've been living there for 49 years, so I can pretty much tell you whatever went on and how it went on and what's going on and what's supposed to go where and kind of idea.
I didn't hear the address.
I live at 511. Well, actually, I live at 19019 Catilco Drive, which is part of a. It's on the service road of Plessy's Road, but I also own 511 Plessy's Road.
Okay.
And like I said, we own the property immediately south of the city's property that you guys own in this RMS Springfield there.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thanks.
Cito. We'll ask the, nobody else here that hasn't spoken already to speak for a first time on this matter. I'll ask the applicant to return a rebuttal. Welcome back, Mr. Vogan. Your chance to make some comments on the issues that have been raised through the delegations.
I'll proceed in the order in which they were raised. With regard to Gabriel Hurley's comments, I thank him for showing up. We have, as many of you know, done a lot of fencing along Ward Avenue, and it's a uniform fence, and it is very much a purposeful vehicular corridor. We put trees and sidewalks there, and there is some connections between other collectors to that minor arterial street, but it is a uniform fence. There's no doubt about it. I certainly agree with you that a uniform fence looks a lot better than a patchwork of fences, and over the years we've become much better at making sure those fences are in good shape. I mentioned earlier about building schemes, and that is a new, very powerful mechanism, or one that we're now using. It's, I guess it's been around for a long time, but within those building schemes we introduce the construction specifications for the fence and also lay out the requirements for maintenance of that fence to ensure that over the longer term it has a uniformity. The ultimate discipline as to how that fence gets maintained really depends on the neighbors each looking over each other's shoulder and making sure that every other neighbor maintains that fence as it was built. Now, Ward Avenue is known as a minor arterial road, which has got a fairly significant status in the scheme of things as far as transportation engineers go, and we have respected that by agreeing to put up the 2-meter noise attenuation fence. However, right within Sage Creek, we have a major collector road known as Boulevard des Hivernaux, which is similar in scale to what Ward Avenue will be. However, on the east side of that street, running between Ward Avenue and Sage Creek Boulevard, we have what we call open style rear yards. There is not a 2-meter fence there. There is instead a 3 to 4 foot retaining wall, and on top of that retaining wall is a wrought iron style fence with a gate and stairs down from the rear yard to the sidewalk on that street. So That is a very approachable piece of a rear yard. We did that for a couple of reasons. We wanted to find out how many people would prefer to have that, get the long view of things rather than have their personal two-meter fence. And that fence, again, is protected by a building scheme. So we have that option there. On other streets, we have houses fronting Sage Creek Boulevard and Boulevard des Ivenaux, where we are installing not a wooden fence, but again, an open fence, encouraging people to share the view and see whether that alternative has much traction. We find that there are some people that are happy with that. There are, of course, people that are looking for their privacy, and some can find that privacy or that comfort within it, shelter within the yard, but we are doing that. With respect to Mr. Hurley's comments on commercial, as of course this committee knows, we have a village center focused at Highway 59 and Sage Creek Boulevard. There we hope to attract a number of commercial tenants. We will put those a number of those uses on the sidewalk with the parking lots in the rear, hoping that the very easy to get around pedestrian nature of the area feeds commercial and offers people a chance to walk down and see stores on the street. That is still at the plan stage. That concept has been out in front of the city for a couple of years now, but it's something that we're committing to and working on. Our own office building is fronting right on the street with parking lot behind. And we're hopeful that we can indeed create a place where pedestrians want to get down to the village center to enjoy what facilities we can create there and get there without having to take their car. Indeed, some of these pathways I'm talking about are indeed shortcuts, so that hopefully you can get there faster on a bike than you could on your in your car. Another instance where we've done an open rear yard rather than putting up two-meter fences on Paddington Road, just north of Aldgate and north and south of Aldgate. On the west side, we have houses backing onto it, but we've again put a major pathway outside the fence between the property line and Paddington, and the fence there is an open-style, wrought iron-style fence. Mm-hmm. So again, it's trying to find an alternative to the usual wall effect you get off of sound fences, where they're not seen as necessary, and trying to offer some place where people are ready to accept something different. And we're learning by trying that out in the marketplace. With regard to Mr. Cito's comments, Plessy Road, as I understand it, is within the city of Winnipeg proper. The eastern border of the right-of-way is the arm of Springfield. I further understand that it will be closed at the perimeter, and I also understand from conversations with the province that they wish to remove the always access to Plessy Road from Fermore at the north. The result is that, I guess in the fullness of time, we would expect Plessy Road to not connect all the way from Fermore to the perimeter, but instead be a road that is connected to the minor arterial road of Ward Avenue and the eventual extension of Bishop Grandin to the border. North from Ward Avenue, we would expect that to have a minor arterial status, and that would, again, be a road that would have a fair amount of volume on it potentially. We have widened the right-of-way to accommodate some additional width. The full four-lane version of Plessy would involve some cooperation from the RM of Springfield as well. But we do recognize that Plessy has a role in the city's transportation future. With regard to drainage, certainly the Navin Drain or the Navin Drain has played a long and important role in draining southeastern St. Boniface. What we have done in Sage Creek is seriously augment the drainage capacity in that zone by installing a system through Island Lakes and through Royalwood, creating another entire drain to the river. And that not only allows us to make sure that we don't have ponding water within the area of the Sage Creek neighborhood and the surrounding fields. We are very well aware of that existing situation because we were not farming, but leasing it to farmers for the previous 30 years. So we're well acquainted with drainage problems there. And we're comfortable that we've fixed that. There are not only lakes in this system to handle the surges in that in rainfall, but we have also installed catch basins right into the ditches in Highway 59 to take that up. So standing water along the side of Highway 59 is no longer a problem.
And Eric, your drainage runs out to the Seine River as opposed to back to the Navin drain?
Our drainage system does run to the Seine River through Ward Avenue and through Ward Avenue across Highway 59 and underneath Highway 59. Between Ward and Bishop Canyon. So we have two connections of major storm sewer into the other lake systems, and eventually we installed a new system underneath the railroad line through Royal Wood into the Seine River. I think I've addressed all the issues that were raised.
The widening of Pleasants?
We have added, about 17 feet in right-of-way width to Plessy so that it could be larger than a 66-foot right-of-way and could accommodate more lanes. In this portion of Plessy, north from Ward, it would be expected to hook into a continuation of Bishop Grant. And
so we're talking way down the road that there would be some sort of future development that would go outside the existing city boundaries.
Well, I guess like the sidewalk picture, sometimes roads just end.
Okay, but there's enough there to do an expanded. There's enough there.
Yeah, where it seems to be feasible. Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thanks very much, Mr. Bogan. You can stand down.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
To the sidewalks, we could just. You have no problem with another clause saying the sidewalks will be constructed after the houses are. How do we manage that?
We will put in the sidewalks, absolutely. We will see sidewalks on both sides of Sage Creek Boulevard and Edward Thompson.
Okay, and I'm leaning towards your position on that. I'm just wondering how we manage that with the ACG. Do we put something in the ACG or do we?
No, we delete the clause that Eric had asked that we delete.
Okay, and then we trust Eric to put them in when...
It's more than trust. The other clauses do say they will construct a sidewalk. That one that he wants to delete,
okay.
So he says it will be done concurrently with the pavement of the road.
Okay, I gotcha. Good. So we just delete it.
Okay.
Thank you, and you've covered off everything, I think,
yep.
Very nicely. And
all right.
We're moving forward.
Thank you.
Good. Just before I open up the floor to motions, Mr. Cicito made it sound as though we weren't tending to a Plessy Road all that well. If we decide that is our road, right?
That's not germane to this application.
I'm just asking, though.
Yeah, we probably have an agreement with the neighboring municipality. Right. There's probably some sort of a give and take.
That is germane to this application because it's squarely in there that we take part of Plessy Road.
You know what? I don't. I'm the area councillor. I will follow up on the Plessy Road issue tomorrow with Public Works as to its maintenance and if there's been substandard, I will find out why and try to fix it. Yes, you will. Okay, I will move that. The report of public service be taken as read.
Favor. Opposed.
Receipt of representations be concluded.
Favor. Opposed. Carried.